Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
It's a Friday morning. Dancing Eric Hansen. Claire officially starts her vacation today. Producer Ben joining me in studio. Good morning, Producer Ben.
Good morning.
What is that weird thing out the window? Sun? Are we actually starting the day with some sun?
Right away, yeah.
Did that feel good to you driving in? Just not that blanket of clouds and
the gloominess.
Exactly. It changes your mood. It's very nice. I was excited coming in. You know, I don't know directions, but I presume it was the east because that's where the sun comes up. I'm like, I can actually see daylight. Mm-hmm. And then as I came in here, it was beautiful. There's a little crescent moon. There's a star. I was like, that's a clear sky.
I was going to ask you that nerd news question. I didn't know if that was a star because that's not the north to me. I don't feel like.
That's probably, don't ask me if it's a north star. I don't know. I think it's a planet.
That's what I was thinking.
I think it's Venus.
And I feel like I've seen it like multiple times in the last month or two over there in that direction.
Could be the way everything's rotating right now.
Yeah,
it's also the flag for, I think, South Carolina, just because they've got clear skies. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a planet next to the moon. But, yeah, we're set for a good day, mostly sunny and 70 today. 68, partly sunny coming up for Saturday. Sunday, 70, partly sunny skies. Memorial Day, 69 and partly sunny. You got any big plans for the weekend?
Nothing too much.
Just another Ben weekend?
Yes.
With an added day because we get Monday off?
Yes. Except I'll have leftovers on Monday.
What, like from a barbecue or something?
Scramble leftovers.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, scramble leftovers. Usually this weekend is my birthday, but this is a very early Memorial Day as the month unfolds. But we're going to do a cookout on Sunday, trying to lay low on Monday. Saturday, we're going to go see the family in Des Moines and back day.
That sounds like fun.
They're fun. That's 4 hours in the car for about 4 hours of running around with kids.
Yeah.
It gets a little tiring, but it's a ton of fun. I got to see photos of a preschool graduation from yesterday. It was adorable. Absolutely adorable. So Claire's nephew got to graduate 2 days ago. Then our nephew got to graduate yesterday. Full on cap and gown, man.
Really?
Yeah. And my question is,
I never had that.
I think we did a little ceremony. You know, you're starting to make memories at about 4 years old, 5 years old. So I remember being, because my preschool was in a Presbyterian church, and I remember we were kind of in the sanctuary, and I remember we did a little bit of a program, but I don't know if there was like a walk across the stage or you get a certificate moment. That I don't remember.
Well, that would be really cute.
He's a little, just always has a look of mystery and mischievous in his eye. So I got a lot of photos from Shannon, but I'm wondering, like, do they have to pay for that cap and gown? Or do you think it gets reused?
I'd say reused.
That's the smart move, right? But I'm like, no, it's about making money. They're selling a cap and gown. They're probably selling photos. Like, this is how it works, right? Raising kids is expensive these days.
It's not like it can be reused again at, like, high school graduation.
No, unless they never grow. If that entire class never grows another inch, just keep it. You're set. I think it would be a fun memento when you graduate from high school. And like to lay out your 18-year-old.
Or what if you used a gown. Really small hat for your high school graduation?
The hat alone. New robe, small hat. That's funny. I like that a lot.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
The state of Iowa has set new limits on what products are eligible for purchase with SNAP benefits. Starting January 1st of next year, SNAP participants will not be able to buy products that are subject to state tax. What the state's trying to do is really remove junk food. So groceries, you know, your fresh fruits and vegetables, your meat, that's a non-taxable item. But gum, soda, candy is taxable. So that is the loophole. And that's how they're going to. And they had to get a waiver from SNAP money, which is administered from the federal government. But that's going to take effect starting in January.
I didn't realize soda and that kind of stuff was taxed.
I didn't realize that either, quite frankly.
I knew about like the bottle deposit. But that's
I don't know what qualifies as a grocery versus maybe convenience, but that's how they're using the rule to change SNAP benefits coming up in January. The new Iowa DOT has released the new map, guys. The new maps are out. People, my lovely father-in-law who passed away a couple years ago is one of these guys who would wait for this day. He loved having a paper map. The DOT is going to print 750,000 new copies of the state of Iowa map. They print maps every year. They used to print 1.6 million back in the day.
That's a lot.
About a decade ago. The map's available at all Iowa rest areas, welcome centers, driver's license stations, and all six DOT district offices. Let's wrap up the buzz with what's got us feeling all right. So I think it was yesterday's feeling all right. We announced this new five-season fit program, which is an endeavor by the downtown district in Cedar Rapids. The city of Cedar Rapids also getting in on the fun and festival category. They're introducing Summer in the Square, coming to Green Square starting June 9th. 20 hours of weekly programming offered June 9th through August 15th, and there's quite the variety. So we start with Mondays. Every Monday, starting June 9th, family Nerf gun night.
That would be fun.
Bring the family. They got the guns and the goggles. That'll run 5 till 7 o'clock. Ages 7 to 14, adults have to be present. Picasso in the Park on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Painting?
Midday. Pardon?
Is that like painting?
Yes, Picasso the Painter. This is for little kids, ages 3 to 6, 10 till noon. Food trucks every Friday. All ages. That'll be 11 to 1. There's an ice cream social. This caught my eye. July the 18th in the afternoon. There's going to be some concerts as well. Concerts will require admission. Everything else I listed, unless you're buying food, of course, at the food truck. Some free, some will cost. Check out the entire schedule. cityofcr.com/summerinthesquare. You'll find all the program details there.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
Z102.9,
today's hit music and the Morning Scramble. Clue number 5 for the medallion hunt. Claire, there's a $500 Hy-Vee gift card on the line.
This is exciting. It's always fun to see if you can figure out the clues. It's a challenging little game of hide and seek.
Part of the fun of this is getting the clues in order and then starting to piece the puzzle together that way. Now, before we give you clue number 5, remember, this item is outside on public land within the Cedar Rapids metro area. That's Cedar Rapids, that's Marion, Hiawatha, Ely, Palo, Fairfax. No digging. Don't break into a utility box.
Don't do that.
It will, once you go, oh, it's visible, it'll be visible. And we are ready now to give you clue number 5.
Clue number 5. You and I have not come up with a whole lot on clues 1 through 4, so hopefully lucky number 5. Your clue number 5. By now, I am sure you are aware that we are nearly half past there. 5 clues left lead you about before all chances have run out.
All 5 clues currently posted on the Z102.9 Facebook page. Good luck finding that medallion.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
I didn't realize that there is an interesting connection between Taylor Swift and the Disney family. Shamrock Capital. What's that green thing on the ground? It's a shamrock. Shamrock Capital, which is owned by the estate of Roy Disney. Roy is Walt's brother, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is reportedly interested in selling Taylor Swift's master recordings back to her for $600 million to $1 billion. Now, here's my first question. I thought Scooter Braun owned those tapes. I don't remember ever having the story, but apparently, so we're talking her first 6 albums, Taylor Swift, Fearless, Speak Now, Red, 89, and Reputation. Scooter Braun bought those in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that he sold them in 2020? We were kind of busy in 2020 with other things. Apparently, he sold them to a investment company that's Shamrock Capital, which is owned by the family of Walt Disney's brother. So as it stands now, this part of the Disney family owns her original recordings, and now they think it's going to be offered back to her. Because remember, she and Scooter were negotiating, and Scooter's like, we could probably work out a deal, but you have to be nice to me, like, in public. And she's like, that's just stupid. So now the question is, does it make financial sense for Taylor Swift to buy back her original recordings when she's doing all of these new recordings?
I would say no. I think they should charge her $1 billion if she wants them. But I would say no, it's not worth it. I mean, she's already
redone
the work of everything.
But at the same time, as an artist, wouldn't you maybe want total control over all of your? Because here's what I don't know. Then where does it go from here, right? Because then somebody else can buy the asset. And would you rather pay a lot knowing you have them and no one else can take them ever again? Or, I don't know, another company that would swoop in with $1 billion to get the master recordings for the first 6 Taylor Swift albums.
I'd probably save the $1 billion and just retire and be done with it.
Or just, you know what, guys, we're done. I don't need to make any more music anymore. Thank you very much. Have you ever done VR headset video gaming before?
I've tried it.
Tell me if you would play this game. So Meta is teaming up with the Blumhouse production company. Is it Bloom or Blum? They do all the horror movies.
I don't know.
I've always said Blum. I also went to junior high with a kid whose last name was spelled like that. So I'm guessing it's Blum. Maybe it's Blumhouse. The game, virtual reality, you get to play the villains from Megan, The Purge, The Black Phone, Happy Death Day, or Wolfman. It's called Horrorverse. Would you play?
And you like walk around like
you basically
people?
Walk around and kill people. It looks very Sims like, so it's not totally immersive in virtual reality. So it's a little more computer graphic-y. But the trailer I watched, it's like the Megan doll is just killing people or Happy Death Day. Yeah,
I would definitely play that. One of my favorite games is actually Dead by Daylight, and it's all these different horror villains, like the popular ones like Chucky and Ghostface and all that stuff. And you get a like.
So that concept is already out there.
Well, it's not VR though.
Okay, but it's but similar
I like
concept
those types of games. So I would definitely try it in VR.
I'm waiting. I love the. I've like walked around in a VR environment before, and there are kind of like you can go to escape rooms. There are like large arcades where you can go in and interact with an environment. I'm not quite ready to make that move yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the concept. Anything immersive that puts you into a world that you're already a fan of, I think that's a great idea. Okay, a lot of these games, of course, that we're talking in this Horrorverse came by way of the box office. So let's talk about the box office. It's officially box office season. Thunderbolts and Final Destination led the way the past few weeks. Up first this weekend, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, rated PG-13. Have you seen any of the Tom Cruise Mission Impossibles?
No.
No? There's 8 of them. You've seen none of them?
I don't think I have, no.
This is the sequel to Dead Reckoning. So this is The Final Reckoning. So there's AI, right? It's very timely. There's advanced AI called the Entity, and now they have to figure out how to shut it down. And from the trailers, it looks like it's like buried deep in the ocean in a submarine. Hmm. So that's going to be the very last mission for the Impossible Mission Force and Ethan Hunt. The other big one this weekend, and I'll be curious to see which one you think is going to win, is Lilo and Stitch. Disney proving once again, you'll pay for the same movie twice. It's live action, rated PG. A lonely Hawaiian girl adopts a dog, turns out to be an alien, and through the ensuing chaos, they heal her broken family. Which one do you think will win the box office?
I would say Mission Impossible, but there might be a lot of kids that want to go out and see movies this weekend.
So it is, it's a 3-day weekend. It feels like your Lilo and Stitch is about a weekend too soon, because I think we're still in school.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. You can still do a movie night, but this just seems like a reward for when school's done. But I also didn't look to see what the next few movies coming out are.
My guess is going to be Lilo and Stitch, just because if people take their kids, there's bigger families going to the movies, which means more tickets.
That's an extra $12, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll find out. This will be the first battle of many coming up this summer. I mean, we still have a Fantastic Four coming up. There's a Jurassic Park coming up. But this weekend, you got Mission Impossible, and you've got Lilo and Stitch opening in theaters. That's going to do it for something that we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Welcome to your Memorial Day weekend, nerds. This 21st week of the year 2026, as we broadcast from a latitude of 41.88 degrees north and a longitude of 91.72 degrees west and an elevation, of course, of 840 feet above sea level. Let's get you into some nerd news. Question number one, what common three-number combination just paid off in the Pick 3 lottery drawing in North Carolina? More than 4,500 people all picked these same three numbers.
I said 456.
The number was 911.
Oh.
Lottery officials said the numbers 911 were drawn in that order this past Tuesday night, resulting in over $1.24 million in prizes won by 4,501 people. The prizes range from $250 to $500 per winner, depending on how much you paid for the ticket.
Which type of ticket was that?
It's like a pick three.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
So we do those as well. You do like, you've got your Mega Millions, you've got your Powerballs, but there are also smaller drawings like pick threes, pick fours. Oftentimes they cost less. The payout is not as high, but also they only pick out nine or 10 of the balls. So the chances of winning go up. So then I always get kind of caught in the science of this, right? How do the odds work? The drawing is the drawing. Regardless of how many people are playing, the odds of that don't change. but the odds of you getting less money go up if you play a common sequence. So maybe 911 is what you play all the time, but just know most people would usually typically play a sequential set of numbers. Some people, it's birthdays, it's anniversaries, but it's like 1, 2, 3 or 911, right? Or 3, 2, 1 or 1, 4, 3,
or
like
four, five,
I love
six.
You or 4, 5, 6. So while those have equal odds of coming up as far as any other three number combination, you probably would win less money because usually more people play that combination of numbers. A team of atmospheric scientists are launching a new research campaign from Des Moines. The Connective Gravity Waves in the Stratosphere Project is aiming to gain a better understanding of what are known as atmospheric ripples and how it influences the atmosphere. So let's start by talking about what a gravity wave is. They are waves in the atmosphere caused by air flowing over or around things like mountains or thunderstorms. And you hear a lot of times our weather is impacted like by what's happening in Denver because the Rockies are there. So the question, they're going to go up in the air and they're like, atmosphere is just like water, right? It's fluid. So if something disturbs it, you can follow the ripple. They're going to try to see how far from a disturbance. Let's say there's a thunderstorm somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. Can they track to see how far that ripple actually goes across the sky?
Okay.
To do so, they have to go 8 miles up. So most airplanes at the highest probably go about 30,000 feet. They'll be going up 41,470 feet to do this. The project kicks off next month. Why they picked Des Moines was never explained in the story.
What does investigating this gravity ripple thing accomplish?
It probably helps, well, for me as a flyer, if it maybe gives pilots better information on where turbulence could be.
Okay.
So if you know there's a disturbance somewhere in, like, the mountain ranges in the Pacific Northwest, and you're flying a flight somewhere in the Midwest, and you're like, there could be an atmospheric ripple that's going to go, I don't know how many miles that is.
Right.
Thousands and thousands of miles. That could impact your flight pattern. That's my best guess.
Well,
that's a great
nice.
Question. I like that you're asking the why. I never got into the why. My why was why Des Moines. Your why is, do we even need this research?
Yeah.
That's a better why.
Because I heard gravity ripple. I'm like, I don't even know what this is we're looking into.
It's just the fact that the atmosphere, just like throwing a stone into a pond, will ripple if something changes over here and it affects something on the other side. I didn't even stop to go, well, why do we even need to study that? Because it's science. Oxford study suggests chimps do or do not offer medicinal plants to heal wounds.
I would say they do.
You think it's true? You are right. New research sheds lights on how chimpanzees self-medicate wounds with plants and provide aid to other chimps. A new report published Tuesday provides fresh clues on the origin of human medical care. Chimps, orangutans, and gorillas utilize natural resources as medicine and sources of ways to stay healthy. A group of scientists out of Oxford looked at wild chimpanzees for about 8 months in Africa, and they found primates will tend to wounds with medicinal-like plants, either on themselves or with one another.
It kind of reminds me of how they, like, pick bugs out of, like, they, like, they take
care of
others.
Oh, that's a great point, yeah. They're already
way.
Taking care of themselves, so this seems to be one step beyond that. Not only does this show the primates understand the concept of you're injured, I need to help you, it also shows empathy. They had more than 80 instances of what I'm calling monkey first aid that was documented. This has been under study since the 1990s, but I think back then it just wasn't either really fully fleshed out or for some reason that data was buried. So they're working on that original data. They started this last year, noticing that also in addition to like first aid and empathy, they'll also pick their diet, knowing that some plants will make them feel better and strong. It's almost like they supplement themselves, which is crazy. So the study continues, but monkey first aid is an actual thing. So says science.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric, your friends and neighbors. Z102.9.
Welcome back to the microphone. I think probably the last time we had you in was right around New Year's Eve. Trooper Bob.
It's a lot warmer now.
It is a lot warmer now. Great to see you.
Good morning. Good. Things are great. The great weather. I don't know if you're responsible for that forecast, but that's awesome.
As the guy who reads it, if it's good, it's my credit. If it's bad, it's my fault. That's just the way those two things seem
to
work
together.
I will
call you next time it turns bad.
Deal. By the way, thank you for the birthday cinnamon rolls.
You're welcome.
Much appreciated. And Claire's not here to enjoy it, Ben, so you get three. No, I get three, you get one.
Okay.
Two and two. We'll figure that out. Okay. We're going into another holiday weekend. And the weather's nice. And I was saying earlier, it kind of feels like I have a feeling people want to get outside. What does that mean for your world?
Yeah, you know, this really starts the travel season, right? I mean, everybody's getting to get out of school and people are getting on the roads. The weather's nice. We get these long weekends. And so people are going to hit the roads. And we see it already. Yesterday, for example, I was already seeing the traffic build up and a lot more on 380-80. And people forget we have Interstate 80, which is running clear across the country from coast to coast. So a lot of people are traveling. And these are the holidays where people get in the cars and they put on hundreds of miles. And so we kind of ramp that up with State Patrol. What we do is we get people that are on days off, say, hey, would you like to come back in and work, have a presence, be out there, you know, just like this. We're trying to get the message out there, do the right thing, do it safely, you know, prepare for that trip, make sure your car's up to it. We have some people that drive around town and the check engine light's on or something, you know, and they don't worry about it. But now you go out on a long trip and it's going to be cool. But when we get the hotter weather, when things start to get really warm, cars will break down.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit more, Trooper Bob, because when you're usually, we always seem to have you Thanksgiving weekend, Christmas, and then New Year's, which is wintertime, right? What is preparing for winter driving? How is that different than preparing for summer driving?
Yeah, you know, winter driving, it can be kind of a pretty bad situation if you're stranded on the side of the road and you don't have the right clothing, and we get used to not having that. Now, summer isn't quite that way, but when it's really hot like this, our cars will break down easier, I think. And getting dehydrated, you know, having water in your car is still something very important to do. Having a charged cell phone always works because we can call, you know, somebody. And I always tell people, if you see someone broke down the side of the road, call 911. Even though you don't feel like that's an emergency, if someone is on the side of the road, it's a dangerous place to be.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, and we talk about different things and people being distracted in this world. And that's a big thing. So, yeah, make sure your car's up to it. Have the good windshield wipers. You know, if you don't have good windshield wipers and people forget about those and the hot weather kind of destroys that rubber on that. And so make sure those work because if you can't see, it's hard to drive.
Great point. Boy, you just take all that stuff for granted when you think about it. One of the reoccurring stats that I know we talk about is number of lives lost on Iowa highways. The goal is always to get that number down. How are we doing into 2025? And what are some things that you're really wanting people to remember going into this weekend?
Yeah, you know, we are succeeding in that because right now we are down 11 fatalities in the state, which is a good thing. That's double digits in the right direction. So, you know, what I would say for the holiday weekend and every time you travel even, and any weekend for that matter, is just make good choices, right? When you're going to go out and have fun, but do it the right way. And the right way when you look at being in a car, traveling, going to see family and friends, is to not be impaired, right? So when we think about going somewhere where we're having fun with our family or friends, we may have an alcoholic beverage, make a decision how that looks before you start drinking and how you're going to get back home. Whether you're staying there, whether someone's driving you, you have that designated driver. And impaired driving is more than just alcohol. We always talk that way, but it's also drugs. It's whether it's illegal drugs or prescription drugs. And in all the states that even have, like Illinois, recreational marijuana, driving impaired under marijuana is still illegal. And that's in the state of Iowa, it is illegal. So, yeah.
And we're going into July 1st, which is now new rule. We're a hands-free state as of July 1. What does that mean from your viewpoint, and what do Ben and I need to know as drivers?
Yeah, so when you look at our state, the hands-free law is coming in. A lot of states have done this, and it's been shown to be beneficial. I will tell you, since the hands-free law got introduced and passed in legislature, I've had probably no less than 100 people come with me and go, I'm glad this law happened. You know, everybody sees that person that cuts them off, that person that sits at a stoplight and won't go. You know, it causes road rage, to be honest with you. A lot of people on their phone and they're not paying attention. So as of July 1, where there's no more of the phone in your hand. It's got to be placed down. You know, a lot of cars have the Bluetooth capabilities. You need to start using that, accessing that. If you don't have that, then we need to make sure that we buy a little device. My daughter's got a $10 device that plugs in her cigarette lighter. And it works. So it doesn't need to be expensive. It's just one touch calling, one touch dialing. So you key up your phone and you turn around and just say, hey, dial this number. And that way we don't have that distraction. It's not in our hand. It's down out of our way. And as of July 1, we're going to issue warnings. So there's a safety period here for you, right? We're trying to educate. We don't want to just
probationary period.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We don't want to give a bunch of tickets out right away. So as of July 1, it goes into effect. As of January 26th, January 1st, so New Year, that's when we start issuing tickets for it. And I can tell you from my point of view, we don't want to issue tickets. We want to have you do the right thing. You know, just like traveling, you know, be safe, be careful, drive the speed limit, all those different things for the holiday. Don't get aggressive. Don't get upset. And so, yeah.
Yeah. That's it. At the end of the day, you don't want to give tickets, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Yes. I think, unfortunately, you guys get a bad rap for that.
I've got a couple quick questions.
Yes.
Perfect.
So what if I'm like driving down the road eating a hamburger because I'm trying to get like to the next destination? Does that, like, would you pull me over for that?
Is that a hands-free rule?
No, there is no law against driving while eating. Now, I've seen people crash their car because of that,
right.
Spilling a pop, dropping that French fry between the seats and you're trying to get it. True story.
Or applying makeup or shaving.
I've seen all these different things. Those things, unfortunately, are not illegal until you are crossing a center line or until you're going too fast, you didn't notice it. That's when it starts to be a problem, but there's no law.
I feel like that should also be included.
Lobby your congresspeople.
And then since we're taking the show on a boat,
does
distracted driving apply to driving a boat? Like, can you be on your phone?
Oh, that's a great question. We've never really get into maritime stuff.
That's a good point.
Yeah. But as far as like if you're having, whether it's a device like a phone or alcoholic beverages on the water, you don't necessarily patrol that, but what's kind of the rule of thumb there?
Believe it or not, I have actually been out on a boat with DNR and doing OWI operations, and you cannot be impaired on a boat. So if you're driving a boat, it's much like driving a car. You can't be impaired behind the wheel and as an operator. However, the distraction piece does not apply to a boat. So if you're on your phone driving distracted, I think the problem would be if you ran into another boat,
right,
then we have the issue. But there's no part of the law that I think applies to that pontoon that you're going to be.
That's an interesting question, but and I love, you know, just pontoons about my speed for driving a boat. That idea of just having all of that area in front of you, but you always have to be like on a swivel. You always have to be watching.
Yeah, you know,
when you're piloting a boat.
Having been to the Ozarks for many years and having a boat, you kind of learn rules, right? Stay to the right, each ship you meet, and turn the bow, all that. So you'll learn a lot when you get on that boat. That'll be impressive.
Well, we're doing our show on a boat. We'll let Trooper Bob get back to his job. Thank you again for the cinnamon rolls and for all you do to keep Iowa's roadways safe. And speaking of the morning scramble on a boat, we would love for you to tune in coming up on Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9.
Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.